listening to KRZ 101.2, Astoria Radio, all the hits of yesterday, today, and next week. I'm Cool Kurt Cassidy. Don't adjust that dial. Sunday Morning Mimosa is back with an all-new podcast, The House of Mimosa. Make sure to subscribe here for the latest on all things The House of Mimosa. And now, without further ado, the brand new, all-spectacular House of Mimosa, the podcast.
WKRZ 101.2, Astoria Radio. All the hits of yesterday, today, and next week.
Baby, 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 let's go! Shake it, break it, make it. Make it bounce.
I am in love with this song.
Isn't it a great song?
I'm in love with Iggy Azalea. I am. All right. Welcome, guys, to the new House of Mimosa podcast. It's been a long time since we have sat down to do a podcast recording.
Well, it's like new and improved.
New and improved. Yeah. Well, we've been
version
so
3.0.
That's it. Yeah. And we've just been so busy with our live performances and so blessed with that.
Yes.
But it's nice to be back doing this. We had some time this week and thought, you know what? It's a new year. It's 2015. Let's start off
in a good note.
So let's introduce ourselves. You guys know me. I'm Travis. I've got Steven here.
I'm Steven. Hi, guys.
And you're hearing Michelle Bachrach in the background.
Hi, everyone.
Which we're so excited to have her here with us.
Very famous Michelle Bachrach.
Well, your reputation precedes you.
Oh, yes.
Well, you guys, we're so excited to do this. You know, I don't know if you've seen our YouTube page, but check out The House of Mimosa on YouTube.
Please subscribe.
We have some videos on there of Anita and Gina Marie.
Well, mostly Anita and Gina Marie.
Yeah, all of Gina Marie.
I mean, practically. They take
some
over.
Some days we'll do...
They take
someday
over.
I'd like us to do videos of ourselves.
I think that'd be good.
No, it would
someday
be fun.
Someday we'll do some videos of ourselves. But we have videos on there of Anita and Gina Marie hearing for the first time about celebrities who have passed away. And in the videos, they hear on the radio...
Very classily hear on the radio.
Yes. Great.
It's very well announced and thought out and sympathetic.
Whoever celebrities have passed away. Most recently, we had Lauren Bacall, Robin Williams, Joan Rivers.
So
they're always in the shower listening to the radio, or in Anita's case, a bubble bath, and you hear WKRZ 101.2 Astoria Radio telling them that, you know, these celebrities passed. And we got some messages through the YouTube videos about from fans of ours asking us to create
a real
Astoria WKRZ radio station. So we thought, you know what, it's 2015, what a fun idea. Let's do that. So
let's give the people what they want.
Yeah,
you can't deny the people. Yeah.
So on our new podcast here, we plan to give you us talking about what's going on in our lives. We plan to give you the WKRZ 101.2 Astoria radio morning crew.
Yeah.
And we'll see what else. We found...
It's like a backstage pass.
Watch out, Elvis Duran. We're taking
that. That's it. Excuse me, Howard. Move over.
Move over.
You know, I actually really have missed doing the podcast.
Yeah.
And if you are a first-time listener, please go back and listen to the old Sunday Morning Mimosa podcast. That's really where a lot of our storylines and our character development come from. And
that's really where Anita and Gina Marie kind of were created.
Really hear a progression from the beginning to where we're at now with Anita and Gina Marie. So that's really fun. Oh, the other thing we're going to be bringing you, which I'm really excited about, is DJ Anita M. Buffum.
Yeah, spinning her tracks.
You know, back in the day, I used to DJ a little bit myself.
Yeah.
And if you don't know, I play Anita M. Buffum on our show.
Who doesn't know?
I know.
Wait. What?
Yeah.
Michelle,
I'm leaving.
This is news to you?
No, I don't
This
know.
Is news?
But Gina Marie's real.
Well, a lot of people think Gina Marie's real.
A lot of people get misconstrued.
Yeah. So, I DJed back in the day, and we were doing some gigs on Fire Island a couple summers ago, and one of the promoters there asked if Anita would just play some music for one of the tea dances. And I was like, oh, well, I kind of have DJed in the past. So I DJed, and while I was DJing, he came up to me, and he's like, "Ooh, you're pretty good." So I've been booking some DJ gigs here and there a little bit, and I have, Anita has one coming up Friday, January 9th at the XL Lounge. So that's, I'm excited, right, about that for Foreplay.
So hip.
Foreplay Fridays, I know.
At the NYC, right?
That's right. So yeah. I hope to see you guys all there. So you're going to be hearing some of Anita's mixes and some music, and so you can know what to expect at the shows there.
That's right.
But let's talk about Iggy Azalea. No, I'm in love with Iggy Azalea. She was just named one of the top artists of 2014.
Really? I think
new artist. I just saw that on the New Year's. She performed on the Dick Clark, which is really Ryan Seacrest.
Right. Yeah, poor thing.
New Year's Eve show.
The new Dick Clark.
Yeah.
Good for Ryan Seacrest.
Good for Ryan Seacrest. Good for
him.
Please,
he's banking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She, Iggy Azalea, performed. She was great. I loved it.
Yeah.
We saw Meghan Trainor, who I don't... How do you guys... All about that bass. How do you feel about Meghan Trainor?
I think she's a... Oh, God. I feel like she's going to be a one-hit wonder. But, you know, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe
not. Well,
here's
my problem with her. Is
maybe
I heard that she started off as a country singer.
Yeah.
And then she was writing for other artists.
Okay.
And she actually wrote... I heard that, again, the internet. I know the internet. Everything that's on the internet is
it's
solid
totally
gold,
true.
Right?
Yeah, totally
but
true.
I read that she wrote All About That Bass for Beyonce.
Yeah.
Okay.
And...
I can't picture Beyonce singing.
Well, I don't
know
if she turned it down or if Meghan Trainor then said, "I want to sing it myself."
Okay,
right.
So she does this song, awesome, great. I downloaded her EP that had like four songs on it.
They all sound the same.
Well, here's the thing: none of them on that EP sounded like All About That Bass. Mm. It had All About That Bass, and then three other songs or whatever that I didn't feel like sounded anything like it. Well, then this song comes out. Your lips are moving or something?
Which is exactly the
same. God,
you could take all the words from that song and put it on All About That Bass, and it's the same exact
thing. Maybe Anita and Jean Marie should do that. Take that song and put it on that other song.
Well, if one more person asks Anita to do All About That Bass, I'm going to... Does everything... I really am glad that Anita comes off as confident. And that people feel like they can talk about her size.
Oh, yeah.
But is the man behind the woman... sometimes I don't want to hear about it. But no, we get a lot of requests for All About the Bass.
Yeah.
But
going back to Iggy.
I think she's beautiful.
Fabulous. Yeah.
I love that she's sexy, but a classier than, say, a Nicki Minaj, who I also enjoy.
I don't really enjoy Nicki Minaj, so Iggy to me is like, wow, this is great. It's everything I would want to see in a rapper.
It's very theatrical, too.
It's very theatrical, too.
And all the beats are awesome.
I
enjoy it. I'm excited to see what she does. I really like this new song, Beg For It.
Oh,
I'm going to make it big. I'm going to make it big.
Oh, I don't know
if I've heard
that.
You've heard it.
Oh, I have.
It's similar to the Meghan Trainor case, though, where it does sound a lot like Fancy.
Okay.
But that's okay, because I think Fancy was a good song.
Well, a lot of the same people produce the same kind of tracks for them, and, you'll hear the same kind of style.
And I feel like in that genre of music, they all do kind of sound the same.
Yeah.
That might be being ignorant, but like pop songs, when you listen to Spice Girls and Fifth Harmony, you can kind of be like, oh, you can
hear
it. Oh, I love Fifth Harmony.
They're adorable.
He can't start with Fifth Harmony.
Love me a girl group.
I know.
I can't.
He loves a girl group.
I love me a girl group. If you don't know our friends, the Glamazons, speaking of girl groups...
Gorgeous.
Please check out the Glamazons. We love them to death.
So talented.
Yeah, and Fifth Harmony, too, which we started just to talk about. Fifth Harmony, I love. Their new song, Sledgehammer, I think is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the key. I'm a big fan of girl groups. I'm a big fan of a group from the UK called Girls Aloud.
Yes.
Now, one of the things that the producers with Girls Aloud did was they wrote and produced music that had... an independent feel to it, an independent music feel. So, like, an independent music artist or an indie artist or a rock artist could sing this music, right?
Yes.
And then they just produced it in a pop way
and
worked with Girls Aloud to make it Girls Aloud.
Mm-hmm.
But that underlying, the core of the songs were just good.
It was
good music.
It was a great song that someone as a solo artist could have produced.
Right. And
it would have been great, but this enhances that.
And especially as they got further along, Girls Aloud, I'm going to cry.
Look them up.
No longer together.
Girls Aloud, look them up.
I love them.
Fabulous.
Look up Girls Aloud. But that was great. And I think that they're doing that with Fifth Harmony.
Mm-hmm.
I think Fifth Harmony, that song Sledgehammer is awesome. It sounds like it could be done by, a solo artist.
Mm-hmm.
I really love Fifth Harmony.
Obama, too. Don't they do that's, an Obama?
That's Michelle Obama. Chris So Heavy. Oprah Dallas. Yeah. I love that song.
Yeah.
You know, Stephen's so hip.
I'm so hip. I'm so in on it.
Don't they do that Obama song, yeah, too?
Don't they do that Obama song? Please.
Yeah.
I know. Well, it's so sad. I'm so musical theater. It's like sickening.
Well, musical theater, you just saw Lorna Luft at 54 Below.
I did, actually. Which I thought was really great. It was wonderful
now,
this year.
If you don't know Lorna Luft,
I don't know.
Michelle doesn't know.
Michelle has no clue.
No.
But
so Lorna Luft is Liza Minnelli's
sister,
the
daughter
of another Mister.
Yes, but the daughter of Judy Garland.
Somewhere
the Wizard of Oz.
Wizard of Oz.
I know who Judy Garland is.
All right. I don't know.
You know
I know who Liza is.
You know who Liza is. But no, it was a great concert. But I have to say, doesn't have the same chops as her sister.
That's
better
chops,
voice.
Vocally or
acting-wise and performance-wise.
Well, because I know you love Liza as an actress.
I love Liza as an actress.
Well,
I think she's an actress first.
Well,
I love her as a singer, but I think she's an actress first and foremost. But then she's a then she's a singer beyond that. But mostly as an actress, she hits the nail on the head.
Steven's getting moist.
Oh, I am. Yeah. But no, let's get back to Iggy.
Well,
because
Iggy goes into us watching the J-Lo special.
HBO. Did everybody see it?
First of all, have you seen Iggy Azalea and J-Lo's booty music? Booty music.
I'm sorry.
I sound like Steven.
Yeah.
The booty music.
Everyone loves the songs about the booties.
Yeah.
We're all very hip.
But
here.
We watched the J-Lo HBO special. And you know me, I'm a little critical and I'm a little opinionated.
True.
I was disappointed. Here's the thing. I have come to understand that J-Lo isn't just a machine. And I've come to understand that she does have a voice.
Yeah. I saw that too, and I was like, oh, it's great to see this
and
side of her.
In my DJing, I'm not kidding, maybe I'm not playing the right music, but it seems like any time I put on J-Lo, the whole crowd gets up.
I have to say, it's a Latin beat. I don't know what it is about a Latin beat, but it's my favorite kind.
Well, you should see Steven at a wedding.
Steven
at a wedding.
Oh, just bumping and grinding.
So we watched J-Lo, her HBO special, and my critique is that we did not see enough of the concert.
True.
It kept going back to this documentary, what she's been up to.
It was more
And I also thought, like, wait a minute, didn't all this stuff happen 2 years ago, two, 3 years ago? Like, it was talking about her breakup with Mark Anthony and her on American Idol for the first time and last time and... I don't know. It felt very that footage felt very old to me, and I was like, "Is this?"
It looked
old
like
special?
They mixed old footage into the new footage, but it was more of the new story. It was a lot of new footage. But
I thought all that just happened 2 years ago. I didn't think.
Well,
that
the
was
other
new.
Thing that gets me too is the concert footage. So I love a pop concert.
Yeah,
I have a big connection to pop music, and I've always wanted to, and maybe hopefully someday will. Be able to be a creative director for those big tours and for artists like that. I love putting together the images and the music and music directing and and the dancers and how that all looks. And
you love the visual.
I love it.
Oh, well, you love all the
It
elements.
Makes me... I actually cry.
Yes.
I can't help it. It makes me cry.
It's like me seeing Broadway. It's
so
similar to Diana.
I'm a big fan of purchasing concerts on DVD.
Yeah.
Okay. So I hate when they film... and audio record more than one night, and then they mix together the best footage with the best audio may not necessarily sync up.
Yeah, it
so
was
it feels
not.
To me like it's always a lip sync.
It was
and
not.
I'm like, well, the audio, and then I get you get confused, like, because there are artists that will lip sync to live recorded audio. So, let's just. I'm just pulling somebody out of thin air. I don't know if she does this. Britney Spears.
We'll
go into a recording studio.
She's never lip-synced.
And
No, never.
And, well, okay, so any pop artist could go into a recording studio and record a quote-unquote live track that is doctored up to sound good, but also live.
Right.
Then that's played at the concert, and they lip-sync over that.
But they have to, because they're dancing their guts out.
Well,
she
I forgive Britney Spears. I forgive... J-Lo.
J-Lo, yeah.
I've seen any artist
bust
their ass dancing and moving around on the stage and then lip syncs.
Well, that was the whole thing with Madonna. You know, she was dancing her ass off and singing live back in, you know, her whole career.
Right.
And so, you know, you understood that she's not going to sound great all the time.
Well, here's...
She was the first artist really to kind of, like,
I'm more of a fan of, say, an artist that will sing over background tracks during the chorus.
Yes.
Like, you know, when we do our shows,
yeah.
I produce our background tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we put in a pre-recorded chorus that we've recorded our vocals to.
Mm-hmm.
So that during the chorus we can sing over it.
And you
so
can have liberties with it. And
right,
we can
right.
enhance the sound,
right.
too.
And it gives us a little bit of a break. When you're yeah. doing a two-hour, or like our brunch show, a four-hour show.
Yeah.
And... you know, your vocal is the main vocal the whole entire time, you need to find those little breaks. And so
right.
I was just disappointed with the J-Lo concert footage because you can tell she has a good voice. And there were moments that mm-hmm. she was singing and that it was live
yeah.
and it was good. And I was
but
like,
but you're
well,
not sure where, if she really
right.
does it live and
right.
what part she does live and
mm-hmm.
because of the way it was produced in
yeah.
the video.
Right. But I mean, you're going to get a secondhand quality because you're watching it or buying the DVD. They want you to go and see the show. So if you went and saw
yeah.
the show, you'd be like, oh, she sounded great. Obviously.
And this happened after the fact.
Right. And if
there.
J-Lo knows that in San Diego, when she was singing, her voice cracked, she's not going to want that on her DVD. So
true.
She's going to be like, no, we're going to fix that.
True.
I mean,
true.
And it
you...
might have been the best visually, but not the best vocally.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you play with it, but I think it's also because they want you to see it live.
Well, I think it could have been produced a little bit better to make it not look like
yeah.
lip
well,
sync.
Well, there
absolutely.
Was a moment where Mark Anthony and her came on to sing a song together, and there was
a
moment where he was not synced at all to what
was
going
he
on. Was and
bad.
I was like, oh my God. But it's probably because they only did one or two nights of him,
right.
and they couldn't sync it all together,
I think he
right.
only did one night.
Well,
yeah.
before we put people to sleep,
yes.
let's turn it over to WKRZ 101.2 Astoria Radio's Morning Crew with Cool Kurt Cassidy, Cat Colossal, and Kip Kipley with Kipley's Believe It or Not. And you're also going to hear some Anita's music in there. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about Idina Menzel singing Let It Go at the Ryan Seacrest, Dick Clark New Year's Eve special and that whole fiasco. All right, we're turning over to WKRZ 101.2 with Cool Kurt Cassidy, Triple K. Cool Kurt Cassidy here for WKRZ 101.2, Astoria, New York, the hits of yesterday, today, and next week. I'm turning it over to DJ Anita B., who you can see live Friday, January 9th at the XL Lounge for 4Play Friday. Thanks, Kurt. DJ Anita B. here. I'm so excited to be... To be here, really, to
oh,
be
God.
Playing some of my favorite hits.
Oh, it's fabulous, honey.
I know. Well, you've seen me DJ around New York, and of course we were on Fire Island the hit summer.
Oh,
and
they know.
So,
they know.
Well, we did the high tea dance
oh, yeah,
over there at
gorgeous.
The Pavilion.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah.
Gorgeous.
And I've got my hype girl here, GM Ritali.
That's right, I'll be there Friday night too, hyping you up, guys.
Oh my God, I can't wait. Now, first up on one of my favorite mixes is the Sledgehammer Craig Welsh Pop Bootleg Remix.
Ooh.
By Fifth Harmony, you know Sledgehammer, Fifth Harmony, the guys were just talking about it.
Oh,
here it is, folks.
Oh, hit it.
Love it.
Fred Welsh Pop Bootleg Mix. And you can see me DJing live Friday, January 9th, honey, at the XL Lounge for 4Play Fridays.
And I'll be there hyping it up.
Yeah, Gina Marie, my GM Ritali, my hype girl, she'll be there too.
Oh, yeah.
Now let's turn it back over to Kurt Cassidy, Kit Colossal, and Kip Kipley. Thanks, Anita, and we'll hear more from DJ Anita B in just a little bit. But for now, it's a snowy day here in Astoria. The weather's finally turned to winter, thank God. We had a pretty brown Christmas, if you know what I mean. We got local news correspondent Kat Colossal. Kat, what's going on in Astoria today?
It's freezing, Kurt. There's no heat in here.
Thanks, Kat. Yeah. I don't know whether to blame Al Gore or Sarah Palin for this crazy weather, but it's 2015. Global warming's upon us. And hey, let me tell you, if I lived on the beach, I wouldn't mind. But it's Christmas. Where's the snow? And now we've got Kip Kipley with everybody's favorite, Kip Kipley's Believe It or Don't.
Thank you, Kurt. I'm Kip Kipley with Kip Kipley's Believe It or Don't. Sister Candace Bergen of the Immaculate Conception fame is going to be doing palm readings after Sunday services. Believe it or don't, Blow and Go's very own Xander showed up to this year's New Year's Eve party with a woman. Believe it or don't. And speaking of Amato's Restaurante, their Toys for Tits celebration racked in an unprecedented amount of money this year. Thanks all to the lovely and little darling Tina Marie Ritali. Aw, that lovely doll. Believe it or don't! Back to you, Kurt.
Kat, you've got tits. What do you think about that? Now, back to the House of Mimosa crew. Okay, guys, so Idina Menzel.
Oh, God.
My first question
is
Idina Menzel?
Or Adele Dazeem?
No.
Oh.
Idina Menzel?
Yeah.
Or Idina Menzel?
Idina Menzel.
Idina Menzel.
Yeah.
Idina Menzel.
No.
Menzel.
Idina Menzel.
Yeah. Menzel.
Wouldn't that be a something over the E? What is that called? Idina Menzel.
I don't know.
Okay, so.
Who knows?
Idina Menzel.
Yeah.
New Year's Eve, singing Let It Go. Did she not know, I know, Stephen, you said this to me earlier today.
Yeah.
Did she not know, did they not know when she recorded this song?
Yeah.
That there was a possibility.
It was out of her range.
Well, that she might have to sing it live?
Well, this is the thing. I think she was in a recording studio. I think that she was feeling the vibes. Her voice is not where it was years ago, like when she did Rent and when she did Wicked. So I think it's changed a lot. I think those are the notes that she was hitting years ago. And in a recording studio, yeah, there are certain days you can hit
those,
great. But
I think the criticism that she gets is anytime we see her on TV, an award ceremony, any of that, a lot of people say that they see her nerves get the best of her.
Yeah.
Here's what I don't understand.
She doesn't connect.
Well, that's like a separate issue to me. Like, as a performer, isn't it your job to connect to your audience? Like, I mean, I know that that's something. Like, listen,
I have
resting bitch face. I do. I find when I watch video clips of us performing live as Anita and Gina Marie that I feel like, so I'll watch myself and I'll be like, I remember being a lot more animated.
Mm.
So I have resting bitch face and I feel like my face looks dead when we're performing.
So to the audience, maybe they don't feel like you're connecting
with
them, but you are. Yeah.
I don't know that. All I know is that with Idina, how come, I'm just trying to say that I sympathize with maybe she thinks she is giving it.
Yeah.
Maybe she thinks she is connecting.
I think her nerves get the best of her. I think she's in a setting that she's not normally in.
Oh, okay. So this is where we disagree. And this is where it's going to get fun, Michelle.
Yeah. Oh.
Michelle's a third-party bystander here because I don't think she really gives enough about this stuff. So here's the thing. My understanding is that she doesn't claim to be a Broadway singer.
No, because she doesn't claim
to be a pop artist.
No. So she's in the middle somewhere.
Well, where? What the hell is it?
Like, I don't know.
You're a performer, you're singing. Like, I don't...
Yeah.
Like, I guess when people ask us about our show, and as you can tell by now, I don't mind talking about myself. But I don't feel like I claim anything. But when people ask us about our show, I say that we approach doing the shows as Anita and Gina Marie, as comedians and singers, right? Like that. And the drag is something we've come into later. Like... we approached it first as that. Now, the root of it is that we're performers.
Yeah.
And to me, there are certain things as performers, even if you're a wedding singer, like Idina Menzel started, you know to do. So,
yeah.
You sing your heart out. You try to connect with your audience.
You give 110%.
Well, this is where it gets sketchy. Okay, so if you didn't see Idina Menzel saying Let It Go for the Dick Clark New Year's Eve special. Now, I don't necessarily think the way that Idina Menzel sings is pretty.
No, she has a very interesting style.
I recognize that she has a strong voice.
Strong.
And that she has a very specific style.
Yes.
Which I'm also usually a fan of.
Yeah, I know. Okay. You are.
So, but I just don't think that, like, when she started the song out, I don't think it sounded pretty.
No, it didn't.
It got to the middle. Excuse the dogs. It got to the middle, and she sounded good. And I enjoyed it. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Then she came to the end.
She took some liberties in between. But
and that's okay. I don't mind taking liberties. Mm-hmm. Then she gets to the end with that big note.
And you could hear it the whole time. She was nervous. She was. You could hear that the whole thing was just coasting through until.
So here's the thing. She got there. She received a lot of criticism about her performance and how she sounded, which she has the whole last couple, like the last 2 years. I think there's been a lot of criticism about her performances, but
every time it matters, she fucks up.
Right.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So here's where it gets shady. She put out a statement.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to give you the best part here.
Yeah.
She said in this statement that, quote, being a perfectionist, it took me a long time to realize that if I'm hitting 75% of the notes, I'm succeeding. Performing isn't only about acrobatics and the high notes. It's staying in the moment, connecting with the audience in an authentic way, and making yourself real to them through the music. Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's where I have the problem.
Yeah.
I know also, as a singer that performs live,
yeah.
that there are days that I'm not as vocally strong as I am on other days. Make sure that on those days, I'm connecting with the audience, that the other things, that the other elements, the other tools I use as a performer that I can control are on point. So I have a real hard time with her, first of all, saying that hitting 75% of her notes is a success.
Well, I think she was talking about 75% of a full performance in a musical as far as what, in If Then, if I'm hitting 75% of the notes in If then I've done a great job because of how much that is and how taxing it is of a job and...
Okay, all right.
I mean, I don't know, but I do not defend her comment. I don't think that that's great. I would never go on stage giving only 75% of something. It's not something I strive to do. If you're going to be on stage, you're going to be giving 110%.
Well, and you know us, when we perform, and Michelle, you've heard of this before.
Yeah.
Like, our Christmas show this year, we were exhausted.
Exhausted.
Vocally, physically, mentally, emotionally. We were exhausted.
The Christmas season is really tough.
We had a huge season of shows and a full week of shows that the final culmination of that was Sunday night after two brunch shows going directly to get ready, rehearsal, because we didn't have time as much as we would have liked for rehearsal, to doing this Christmas show.
And then putting on the production at night. You know.
Right. And we finished the show. And you, Stephen, were very critical on yourself.
And I am. And I can understand. She says being someone who's critical of herself, she had to give herself these rules and standards for herself. And I understand having to kind of like be able to break that wall and say, hey, you know what? I am too critical. And so I'm going to say if I give 75%, then I'm okay. But for me, I could never do that.
No.
And I'd rather be critical of myself.
But for you to have that opinion of 75%, if that's in the back of your brain and that's how you, I wouldn't go out and say.
Tell people this.
I think 75% of a show is fine.
Exactly.
Right.
If I'm good, 75% of this show is perfect.
Her PR people should be shot.
Right.
This should not have gotten to the public. Right. Because it's not something, maybe in her own head when she was saying it, it was okay, but not right, you know, it's not okay.
Or even worded differently, like, if this was referring to that performance, at least I gave some, I was not having a good day, and maybe 75 was all I could do that
day. Or she could have said, hey, I was giving 110%, but my voice was only giving 75% of
me.
You know, and that would work, you know.
So this is the point of the viewer, Whoopi would go to a break.
Oh, hello.
But we're going to talk about Raven from RuPaul's Drag Race being on Johnny McGovern's web talk show, Hey Queen! So
which
I didn't
we
see
enjoy. I enjoy
the show. I love Lady Red Couture.
Oh, Lady Red.
Lady Red for season 8. Don't get
me.
Yes.
That's
what they keep saying.
So tell me, I didn't see this. So Michelle, tell me about Raven. Tell me.
So I have grown to love Raven. I didn't love her on her season.
You didn't?
I didn't.
She was season two. Season two, and the winner of season two was
Tyra Sanchez.
Okay.
Unimportant.
Who I don't even know who that
but
is.
But I wanted Raven to win, and I think you did too. I wanted Jujubee to win. At the time, I think I wanted Jujubee. Okay.
Okay, so we're talking about RuPaul's Drag Race. Season two, third runner-up. Well, we don't know.
Second runner-up. She came in second.
I think she came in second.
Okay, she was on Hey Queen. Okay, what happened?
She was on Hey Queen. They played that famous game, Look at Her.
If you haven't seen Look at Her, is where Johnny McGovern shows his guests pictures of other people, celebrities.
Mostly drag queens.
That the guest knows. And they have to comment on the person.
Right.
By going, Look at Her.
By Look at Her. So, they put up a picture of Adore Delano.
Oh.
And
Adore Delano from season seven.
Season six.
Okay.
Of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Okay.
Who I'm a huge fan of.
Of course.
I love Adore Delano.
Okay.
Raven looked at her picture and she said, let me tell you about this girl. Because I saw this girl when she first started, and the picture they had up of Adore was an older picture. She was all glammed out and, like, fierce. She goes, this is how I saw Adore. When I see her now, I feel like you need to go to work, girl. Your job is to be a drag queen, and you're coming out in combat boots and a t-shirt, and it's like, you're not going to work. And very critical of what Adore is doing.
Okay.
Yes.
To which Adore responded on her Facebook feed, which I didn't know it was about this situation until today.
Okay.
She said, if I was just a lip sync artist, I could give you full glam all the time.
Mm.
She goes, an artist who happens to be in drag, and I'm out there rocking it out, and I can't be high glam in ball gowns all the time.
Yeah.
And she's like, where my inspirations come from are fierce women who are like hard edge and ready, not necessarily
rock stars.
Right.
Rock
not stars. Necessarily in ball gowns and tiaras.
Yes. Not glam inspirations.
Right. Yeah.
So I love Raven for saying, like,
me
speaking
too.
Her mind.
Okay. Absolutely.
There's a lot of those girls that go on Hey Queen. Hey Queen! And they
pussy
play
foot around the whole thing.
Yeah, pussyfoot for sure.
Yeah.
I like a girl that will say what she thinks.
Yeah,
because,
absolutely.
You know what? I don't think that's shade. That's Raven saying how she feels.
Right.
And, you know, maybe there's a little truth to it. I think that Raven is, you know, glam to the max.
Oh, yeah.
I think
she's
one of probably the best makeup artists that we've seen on Drag Race.
I think so.
And maybe Adore could learn a few things.
Yeah.
But Raven wouldn't understand what it's like because Raven doesn't sing live.
Right.
And
true.
I have to say, you know, if...
We know.
Well, here's the thing, right? So...
Yeah. It's hard to say.
When you lip sync, you can also turn it out.
Right.
So, there are those girls that lip sync and turn it out and look fierce as hell.
Right. Really good.
Well, Raven also said, she goes, you know, my famous move is hands. I hand dance.
Right.
Okay.
And she, like, basically it's her face and her hands.
She
they made a joke about it.
Okay.
So when that's all you're doing, obviously you can stand
right.
there in 8-inch heels.
Well, and also if you're lip syncing, you're probably not doing an hour and a half concert.
Right, exactly.
And Adore Delano toured. Adore Delano did an hour and a half concert.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And it's very different. You can't wear certain things that are very constricting when you're singing live. You
right.
can't, you know, you need to feel free. You need to be able to move.
Right.
You need to be able to breathe. So there's a lot that comes in to the idea that I'm doing drag, yes, but I have to be able to.
Right.
Give my 110%, not just 75%.
Exactly.
Well, you know what's really, this is fun to talk about now, because Steven and I, we had a big conversation about being drag queens, and, you know, when we first started the show, performing live, because we started as a podcast first, where Anita and Gina Marie were born
as voices
on the podcast, and then the look came third, fourth, fifth. You know, for us, it was never about the look. It was about the content. It was about the music that we were singing. It was about our live vocals. It was about the comedy that we were writing and we were improvising. And the look was last. But I feel like it took a long time to be taken seriously because as gay men, people were like, well, are you drag queen? You're drag queens. If you're gay men in a dress, you're a drag queen.
And then they were like, are you sloppy drag queens? Right, because you're not, you know, you're comedy queens, but you're not, your look isn't polished enough. Right. Yeah.
So we polished ourselves up.
Yeah.
We learned a lot. It took a long time. And we still, I think it was still a good amount of time that we kind of would step away from being called drag queens.
Yeah.
I had a realization within the last year that, oh my God, drag can be whatever the hell you want it to be.
Right.
So here I am, a comedian, a singer, an artist, and the role of Anita is the platform I have to be that artist.
It's whatever you want it to be.
It's whatever
you want
it to be.
And that's what you told me, and that's how I totally understand it.
And from then on, it's kind of like a curtain was lifted, a weight was taken off my shoulders, and it was like, oh my God, now I really feel even more free. I can do whatever the hell I want to do. I can be whatever I want. And I love that we can do, like, if you've ever seen us live, our brunch show and our stage shows are like the epitome of Anita and Gina Marie. We really try to be Anita and Gina Marie to the core. And, you know, everyone is welcome. We have families come to the show, kids, lots of different backgrounds. And then when we do our nightclub gig, the nightclub gigs, I feel like, oh, well, I can wear a pink wig. Or when I'm DJing as Anita, I can wear a green wig.
Make it fun.
And it's a little bit more of the what's, I think your mind goes to is typical drag.
Yeah.
And that, I feel like that's fun. Like, I can try different looks and different things. And so it's interesting to hear Raven criticize or give her opinion
critique.
On Adore Delano. And it's interesting to hear Adore Delano's response, because this is something that we've come
to
feel about
to
ourselves and relate to over the last year. And I think it's, Michelle, like, you've seen us grow.
Right.
And, like, I remember when we, you know, because back in the day, we used to wear the same costume.
Always.
Yeah. Almost always, yeah.
And I remember when we started our brunch at the Out, at the hotel, the Out, at Kitchen Restaurant,
and we
had these new outfits, and I had that black dress.
We were both wearing black dresses.
Yeah, and you came in, because you had never seen a look before, and you were like, holy shit.
I couldn't deal anymore.
Yeah, well, because it was so different.
It was so different, and it also, Anita and Gina Marie are real people in my life.
Well, yeah. Well, a lot of people talk about Anita and Gina Marie.
My family asked, how are the boys? Oh, they're doing good. And how are the girls? The dogs? No, Anita, they're fine too, I guess.
And I love that.
Yeah.
But it's the moment when it becomes real, where you walk in and you're like, oh my God, there are these two people who are so different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was stunning.
Well, and then there's those people that, thank you. there are people that, like, get it.
Yeah, they do.
And I feel so thankful for those people that get it, well, not only our fans, but, like, Dragaholic.com. Dragaholic.com has been so supportive of us.
Yeah.
They're a drag fan website. Please go check it out. And I think for the thing that's so special to me about that is that here you have this drag fan website.
Yes.
And they're giving us support.
And support to everybody in the community.
So many. Yeah, tons. And it just feels good to me, because I feel like we've been removed from, whether we've done that to ourselves or not, I don't know, but we've been really removed, I think, from the drag circle.
Mm-hmm.
I think over the last year or so, we've been a little bit more embraced, and it feels good.
Of course. Yeah.
I feel like drag, because of RuPaul's Drag Race, like how you used to talk about like how drag was kind of only the lip syncers, and then it became more of everything. Mm-hmm. From me, I didn't really know about drag culture until RuPaul's Drag Race, where I see it all. Mm-hmm. So for me, that segregation was never there, and I feel like people are forgetting what the core of it used to be, and now drag can literally be anything.
It's anything.
Well, you know what's funny is
it's entertainment.
Right.
Entertainment in a whole spectrum of entertainment.
Like, to me,
and then we're just men in dresses.
Right.
And so that just, entertainment doesn't change.
No. And that girl who does the faux queen project on Instagram, to me, she's
Lacey
a drag
Noel.
Queen. She's adorable. To me, that she's doing drag right
now. I want
there.
Her. Lacey Noel, I want your green hair. How do
it's
I get
blue.
That? Well, right, but I think she's green recently, I saw.
Was she?
I think so.
Oh, that's cool.
The blue cute. Green. She's so, and her mother's beautiful. I can't. I don't know if you know her, Steven, but Lacey Noel, you can find her on Instagram and all the social
networks. We'll have
networks.
To look her up.
She's adorable.
She recreates, like, famous looks from the drag race.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I love her.
Yeah, she's great.
And to me, that's drag, too. Like, drag is so broad now that it can be anything.
It can be what you make of it.
So I enjoy that. I think that anyone has a spot there, and this you just find like your niche in it.
Oh, this,
this
brings
is like
to,
our
yeah.
The More You Know.
The More You Know.
The More You Know. Guys, thank you so much for listening to all new House of Mimosa podcast. We're going to continue to have DJ Anita B play some music for you. That's it. That's right. And you can see us live every Sunday at Kitchen at the Out NYC for brunch. And again, January 9th, Friday, January 9th, you can be at...
XL Lounge.
I'm distracted by my dog on my lap.
It's okay.
You can see us at the XL Lounge for Four Play Fridays. Anita is going to be your DJ that night.
And Gina Marie's going to be a fly girl.
Gina Marie's
not a fly
girl.
A hype girl.
Yeah, because Gina Marie can't dance to save her life.
Oh my God, I sound like an old lady.
How does it make you feel that Anita's more hip to music than we were in the beginning of this whole thing?
Well, what are you going to do? What are you going to know?
The song with the booties.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
All
right,
well, please subscribe. Check out our YouTube channel, The House of Mimosa. And Anita's Buff and Beautiful channel. Subscribe to all of our podcasts and our... God, I can't. Now I'm all... All of a sudden, my nerves hit in.
Well, it's
all
right.
We're wrapping up. Thank you guys so much. We love you guys. We'll see you next time.
Bye,
and
guys.
And now we're
going
to turn it over to Anita B. Thanks, guys. DJ Anita B here playing some of my favorite tracks for you. I got some mashups, remixes, and some of your top favorites from the 90s, 80s, and today. I don't know what I'm going to play today, but whatever sounds good is whatever sounds...
Well, it'll be fabulous, cool. Honey.
Well, yeah, that's right. Here we go. Here we go. You ready? Here we go. of Animals by Maroon 5. Next up, we have the Vincent Ballister remix of Team by Lorde.
We'll be right back. J-Lo.
Fridays, I'll be a DJ there. All right, have a good one, guys. All right, bang. All right, bye-bye. Bang.